Well, good morning to you. If you would go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and while you're turning there, I just want to say thanks, Heath and Melissa. It's been a joy and a privilege to get to know Heath and Melissa over the last few years as we've done ministry together. They've loved us and our family well, and so we are thankful for them and thankful for this privilege and this opportunity that Heath gave me this morning to come and preach the word to you guys. It's always a privilege to open God's word together. And so, as you're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I just want to give you a little insight to what Paul was writing. And so, Paul was writing this letter, 1 Corinthians, to the church of Corinth as a letter of correction. This was a letter of correction, and it was being, because the world at the time there was being heavily influenced by the outside world. And so the church was being influenced. This was a major trade port city in that time, where there was a ton of different cultures coming into their community, a ton of different ideologies. And so different things were influencing the people there in that community. And so Paul wants to write this letter of correction to them to say, hey, look, slow down, think a little bit, right? There's dangers all around you. There's things that's coming into the church to influence you in a way that's not right. And so let's take a moment, sit back, and see what God really has for us. Not what the world says, not what the pressures of the world and the community around us, but what God's word has to say for us. And so Paul writes this letter of correction. And so today, as we look at chapter 12, we'll be looking at the giver of the gifts, God himself. We're going to look at the perfecter of the gifts, Christ, and the energy behind those gifts, the Holy Spirit. And so the perfect representation of all the gifts in one person is Jesus Christ. We get to see it, the perfect picture of all the gifts in one person, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the church, being imperfect as we are, we're imperfect. It can only be manifested through us together, right? God has given us certain gifts, and together we can influence the world with those gifts together. We can't, in one of us, each of us, we can't, like Jesus, have all the gifts, right? But together as a church, we can influence the world with the gifts that he had, which we see in him. And so together, we can manifest all the gifts as one body, unified in Christ and energized by the Holy Spirit. So that's what Paul's trying to say. So it was a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and I think there's a beautiful illustration of this. We went to the Southern game. Not sure if anybody went to that or even interested in that. Here's the point, though. Not the game itself, but at halftime, the bands come out. I don't know if you know anything about music or instruments, but it's a beautiful picture of hundreds of people working together, beautiful way to present a beautiful song, right? And if there's one trumpet or two trumpets out of sync, you know, and you realize what's going on. And so not only that, they're playing, but they're also moving together, and they're creating these words on the field. And I'm like, what's going on? And they're writing all kinds of stuff. And it's really neat. It's a really neat picture of a family working together, unified together, to give a beautiful picture of this, or a beautiful presentation of the music, right? That's us, the church. That's the people of God. That God has given each one of us a gift. And as we move, as we work together, unified in Christ, we can present a beautiful picture of the gospel to a lost and dying community. And that's what Paul's trying to do here. This was important to Paul. It was important that he wrote this. Matter of fact, I'll get to that in a minute. I want to read this to you real quick. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, so you can stay where you're at, but first in chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, this is what Paul says. Actually, I'm not going to read that to you. I'm sorry. My notes got moved around. You know when you got kids, they shuffle things around? So that's probably what happened here. All right. Let me say this. This is why it's important to Paul. If you don't know about Paul, he actually wrote on spiritual gifts more than any other topic in the book of Corinthians. And it's so important because he realized that our responsibility as believers was to present a beautiful picture of Christ. And so, if you would, look at chapter 12, verse 1, and we'll read this passage and then we'll work through it step by step. Verse 1 says this, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gift, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individual as he wills. And so, our first point as we look at verse 1 is this: believers must have a proper view of the gifts. We must have a proper view of the gifts. When we understand the purpose of the gifts, the body is edified and God is glorified. Okay? This is what's important. See, Paul says this in the first one. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Paul wants you to be informed. We've talked about it already. Paul has wrote on the gifts more than anything. Any other problem in the church, Paul has written more on this than anything else. Why? Because Paul understands its importance. Important to him. It's important to the body, how we function, how we move in this world. And so each believer needs to understand this. Each one who has accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, you need to understand that you are needed. You are a vital contribution to the body of believers. And this is what Paul wants you to know, that every member of the body of Christ is important. He says it in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14 through 16. He says, for the body is not one member, but it's many. We're many members. We're not just one, right? We're not just one. There's many parts and there's many members. And so ignorance is no excuse when it comes to spiritual gifts. Ignorance is no excuse. Paul says this, I don't want you to be what? I don't want you to be unaware, but I want you to know. I want you to have the information you need. I don't want you to be without. I want you to know what you need, so that you can be a vital part, that you can contribute to the body of Christ and to the witness to this world. And so Paul, in all of his epistles, he mentions about 20 gifts. It's about 20 gifts. And so 8 times in Romans, he gives us 8 in Romans, 19 in 1 Corinthians, 5 in Ephesians, and 2 in 1 Peter. Now there's some overlap, right? But these are mentioned, and there's about 20 of them. And there's a chart I have that I could have given to all you, but there's a different gifts, right? And this is important to know. Why do we need to know this? Because this, unfortunately, the church has been unclear about gifts. It's been unclear. It's been unclear about what a spiritual gift is, and we've seen it. And so what do I mean? Our natural abilities are sometimes, but not always, our spiritual gifts. You hear that? Our natural abilities are sometimes, but not always, our spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are not controlled by you. Amen? It's not controlled by you. It's controlled by God who gives them to you. And so, think of this, right? There's, I'm sure, a lot of people out there who can cook really good, right? Their natural ability is to cook. Like, somebody can probably bake a great pie in here. And you know what? I'm willing to test that out and affirm that in your life, that you are a great cook, right? But that doesn't mean it's your spiritual gift. That doesn't mean it's given you. So, but it also doesn't mean that it's not, okay? But we have to be assured of that. We have to understand that God gives us our gifts, that we're not bringing anything to the table, okay? And what I mean by that also, like someone was playing the piano this morning, right? Did a great job at playing. That's a natural ability that anyone can have, a believer or non-believer, right? You can play the piano and you can play it great. But that doesn't mean it's your spiritual gift, okay? This is where Paul's going with this. He wants us to understand we have to have a proper view that we bring nothing to the table unless God allows it. And so in and of ourselves, we're nothing without Christ. And so our natural abilities are not always our gifts. And so the reason I say that is, think about Paul. I'm going to read you this passage in 1 Corinthians. We're still in 1 Corinthians. You don't have to turn there. Chapter 2, 1 through 5. Listen to what Paul says. And we think about his natural abilities. A lot of us would think, Paul's like he's a speaker, right? He can preach the gospel. But listen to what he says here. He says this first one. He says, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in your weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my message was not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, so that your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Paul had the knowledge, he had the education to speak and preach in a way that would have been amazing to common man, right? But what does he say here? He says, "I've decided to come to you with nothing but the gospel." That's what I want you to know and understand. Paul, even in his natural abilities, he laid it aside, but God gave him the gift to speak and preach the gospel. Not with lofty words, not with wisdom, but with plain and clear, precise knowledge. And so we even see Paul, in and of himself, not relying on his natural abilities to preach the gospel, but on God in him to preach it and preach it clear. And so we must have a proper view of the giftings as believers. Second, the Spirit is active. We must know the Spirit is active in those who see Jesus as Lord. Verse 2 and 3 says this. It says, "You know that you were pagans and you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." We must not allow ourselves to be moved by the tangible, right? Not by the tangible. Instead, we must actively seek the power of God within us by the Holy Spirit. And so in verse 2, Paul reminds the believers that they are at the point where they were led astray. They were pulled into the lust, into the desires of the world at one point. We all were, as sinners, as unredeemed people. We're pulled by the lust. We want the things of the world. We long for those things. Remind them that you're not there anymore. You once were, but you're not there anymore. And so therefore, I want you to understand, and he gives us a critical test right here. He gives us a critical test. And he says that the critical test lies in our confession of Christ as Lord. This test will not attach Jesus' name to the experience just to value it. So what I mean by that is, like, we're not trying to create some atmosphere of worship so that you're moved and then we're going to tag Jesus to it and say, "This is about Jesus." That's not what we're trying to do. That's not what they're doing. But Paul is trying to remind them, because that's what the pagan religion would do. They would build altars and temples, and they would build this atmosphere of worship and then try to attach Jesus' name to it. And that's what was going on. He said, no, you can't do that. Jesus, what he says, Jesus is a curse. That means it's set up. That word accursed means that it's been set up or it's been placed, that they've done a great job of trying to build some sort of atmosphere. And we see that in the church today, right? We see it in the church today. We try to have so many different things within our service to draw this atmosphere of worship. And really what it's about is the Word of God. Allowing the Spirit of God to move in our hearts so that we can truly worship God, whether there's lights or flashing things or not, right? It doesn't mean those things are bad, but if we're relying on those things to produce this atmosphere of worship, then we're no better than the pagans. We're no better than the pagans. And so the true believer won't attach themselves, won't attach Jesus to this act of worship just to try to value it. Instead, what do? Well, we don't fabricate those things. Instead, what we say is, and look at verse 4, it says this. It says, that, or the end of verse 3, it says that no one can say Jesus is Lord except through the Holy Spirit. And so those who understand Jesus is Lord, what do? We understand He's our owner. He's our master. He's the one that controls us. That's that word, Lord. He is sovereign over all things. And when we give our life to Him, He owns it. He owns our life. And so we try to simply confess Jesus as Lord and Savior and live for Him and not for the experience of the world. Experiences are great, right? We experience things. We're emotional people. We're not saying that, right? I'm not saying that. God uses our emotions. But what's the root of our emotions? Is it some setup? Or is it because we've accepted Christ as Lord and Savior and we've surrendered to Him? We've bowed before Him and we say, You are Lord, You are owner, You are controller of my life. And I think Jesus warns us of this too, right? In Matthew 7:21, He warns the people, like, many of you will what? Confess me as Lord and Savior, and yet He'll say, I never knew you. I depart from me. I never knew you, because all you've done, you've tried to attach Jesus. You've done the good works. You've tried to build your own kingdom, and then you've attached Jesus to it. But in all reality, you've never surrendered your life. You've never given your life. You've never given ownership over to Christ. And so we must confess Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the critical test that we see. Point number 3 is this: the Spirit empowers the believer as He desires. The Spirit empowers the believer as He desires. The beauty of the gift is found in the one who gives it, right? That's the beauty of the spiritual gift, not in the one who thinks he already has it. We don't come thinking we're bringing something to the table. We come and surrender and say, Lord, use me wherever you have. Use me however you will. And so in verse 4, we see this. It says this. It says that there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. Spiritual gifts are exclusive to the church, to those who believe, those who confess, those who surrender. It's exclusive. And so a gift, it really is, it's a result of what? What is it? It's a result of something. And in this case, grace, right? It's free. It's a free gift. The grace of God, because He loved us, He's given to us a gift. And He's given it to each one of us. Spiritual gifts are not talents, right? But they are gifts given by God. Natural talents, skills, and abilities, they're granted by God, right? And they're good things. Everything that God gives to us is good. It's worthwhile. It's a gift, right, from God. But those things, the natural abilities, are shared by both believers and unbelievers, right? And like we said already, an unbeliever can be a highly skilled carpenter just like a believer can, right? But the difference is, what do we do with our gifts? What do we do with our abilities? Are we glorifying man, self, or are we glorifying God? And so some spiritual gifts all spiritual gifts can only come as a result of what? Salvation. A salvation. Those who trust, those who believe, those who love. Spiritual gifts give to the members to build up one another. It's for our benefit and for the benefit of the kingdom of God. Because you're gifted that I'm not gifted at. It's unique. And so spiritual gifts are unique to each believer, each Christian. Spiritual gifts are also used in ministry to the body. Verse 5, it says, there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. So services, it's this performing certain duties in humble service to one another, right? That we humbly serve one another. That's ministry. It's not look at me because I'm on the stage or because I'm doing this. No, it's don't look at me. I just want to serve you and love you so that we can build each other up in love, so that we therefore can go into the world and show them the proper love, right, that Christ has shown us. And so this is what we do. And we can do it in many different ways, right? If it's teaching, hey, at one point we may teach children. The next point, we may do a Sunday school class. We may preach on Sunday mornings. There may be different ways that we can use that gift, but that gift of teaching is to minister to the body of Christ in a way to build it up and to prepare it for the things that are coming. So not only are spiritual gifts exclusive to the church, not only are they used for ministry, but spiritual gifts are empowered by God. are empowered by God. We see this in verse 6 and verse 11. It says, there are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all to everyone. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who appropriates to each one individually as he wills. And so this word activity, it's another word for energy that we need to perform our gifts, to use our gifts. Everyone who believes is empowered by God. If you're a believer, God has empowered you. Don't shy away from the gift that he's given you, but trust that he has given you that gift and use it to glorify him by ministering to the body, by loving the body. And so God's plan, in order to make the Christian church really grow, to really have a unified witness, God designed that every single member, you hear that? Every single member has a gift. And you are important to the body of Christ. Every Christian, every member, you have a certain function, and you function within the body in a way to bring glory to God. We must understand that. That's crucial. It's crucial for us to understand that. John MacArthur says this. He says, every Christian has a function within the body that results in a health of the total body. In other words, if God designed that we be a healthy body, growing, maturing, functioning, witnessing, then every member has a ministry that lends itself to the health of that body. Every member, you're vital. If one of us is sick, we're all sick. If we're not using our gift in a way that glorifies God, it hurts the body. You're not contributing to the body. And what Paul is trying to tell the church of Corinth, what he's trying to tell us today, is that we need each other. We need each other to use our gifts, to build into one another, so that we can glorify God. That he receives all the credit. Every organ, every part is vital, vital to ministry. And so the point number four is this. The perfect character of Christ can only be displayed in the body of Christ. You hear that? The perfect character of Christ can only be displayed in the body of Christ. If we want to display the fullness of Christ to the world, we must do it together. We must do it together. He says in verse 8, it says, for one, listen how many times he says, for to one is given the Spirit, through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge according to the Spirit. To another, the faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healing by one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Nine times in two verses, he talks about the corporate effort that we are responsible for. The corporate effort for us to unify together, to minister to one another, so that we can effectively minister to the world. What a challenge. What a challenge. I hope that you, as believers, as Christians, really understand the value and the importance that God sees in you. It's valuable. You are valuable. And he wants to use you to bring glory to his name. And we can't do it without you. We can't do it effectively without you. We want to be so-called running on all cylinders, right? We want all the gifts to be used and used right. And so we lean on one another. We confess sin to one another, right? We strengthen one another so that the world will see us unified in Christ, in his purpose, in his mission, for his glory. John MacArthur, he draws this conclusion from this verse. He says this, neither God's children, this is interesting, so think about it, neither are God's children replaceable or the ministry he has given them replaceable. No other believer can take our place in God's heart, and no other believer can take our place in God's work. He has given no one the exact gift he has given us. He has given no one the exact ministry he has given us. If we do not use our gift, no one else will. And if we do not fulfill our ministry, it will not be fulfilled. Do you see how unique you are? Right? You may say, hey, there's more than one or two people that have the gift of hospitality, right? Yeah. The gift overall may be the same, but the way you minister it is unique. It is unique. And that's what he's saying here, that if you don't do it, if you don't fulfill that ministry, no one else will. And you know what that does? It weakens the body. It weakens us. And so we want to be strengthened. And so the main idea of the message is this, is that the strength of the church, yes, the strength of the church and its witness lies in the ministering of the spiritual gifts to its members by the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you hear that? The strength of the church and our witness lies in the ministering of the spiritual gifts, the gifts that God has given us, ministering to its members so that we grow in a healthy way, empowered by the Spirit of God to bring glory to God on this earth. And so you are important. You're an important and vital piece. And so when we think of spiritual gifts, I want to challenge you as believers. If you are a believer, and praise God, we have a new believer here today. As you walk out your faith in this journey, I want you to really seek out the spiritual gifts in Scripture. Right? Don't say my spiritual gifts, bacon. Right? It's a great ability. It's a great natural ability. But your spiritual gift is found in the Word of God. And ask God to show it to you, reveal it to you, so that you can strengthen the body, so that you can strengthen one another. And this is very important. It's very important because when we do that, we become stronger and unified in Christ. I want to read just a few of these spirits as you think about this. As we respond, as we pray about, I want to read a few. Prophecy is one mentioned in Romans. We have prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, showing mercy. 1 Corinthians, the word of wisdom, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning the spirits, tongue, interpretation of tongues. In 1 Corinthians, apostleship, prophecy, teaching, miracles, healing, helping, administrating, right? Ephesians, apostleship, prophecy, evangelism, teaching, pastor. 1 Peter, speaking, serving. You hear those words? Think about that. Think about how God has gifted you. And ask the Spirit of God to empower you to use those gifts to bring glory to His name through the body of believers. And so I want this morning to challenge you as we respond, to challenge you if you are a believer in Christ, to really say, Lord, show me my spiritual gift. Not only show it to me, but teach me how to use it to strengthen one another in here, so that we together can bring glory to God's name in our communities, in our world. And if you are not a believer, I want to challenge you, hey, God values you. He loves you. He wants to use you. He wants to put you. He has a gift for you within the body. He has a place and a function for you. But not until you submit to Him, not until you humble yourself, repent of your sins, confess Him as Lord and Savior. Until then, God reserves that gift and He's holding it. And so I want to challenge you, if you don't know Christ, if you don't know Christ, I pray that He moves in your heart, that He convicts you of your sin, that He draws you to Him, and that you respond in faith. A faith that says, Lord, I want to trust you. I want to trust you with my life. I want you to be the owner and possessor of my life. Not me. I've done it for a while, and I haven't done good. And so, Father, come, change my life, and then use me. Put me in the place of the body where I can be most effective for your glory and your glory alone. Church, it's important. It's important that we think of those things, that we really strive to be put in a place where God can use us to mature and strengthen this body, this community. Father, let me pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that Paul had a heart for the giftings, that he laid it out so clearly for us that we may strive in a way that puts him on display to the world through our gifts. Father, give us a clear picture of that. I know over the years there's been many different things that have been taught and said about spiritual gifts. But Father, I pray right now for those who have believed, those who have trusted, that you show them clearly, clearly their gift and how they can use it to minister to this local body so that they can use it to minister to a lost and dying world. Father, I pray for those who do not know you and that today they would come to know you. Spirit, move in the hearts of your people, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.